show you the evidence.
Down in my heart.
When you see me loving.
Down in my heart.
All of my enemies.
Down in my heart.
It ain't nothing but love.
Down in my heart.
Yeah.
Down in my heart.
When you see me treat my neighbors right.
Down in my heart.
It ain't nothing but love.
Down
let
in
me
my
tell
heart.
You something.
Love
is in my heart.
Is in my heart.
Way down.
His love
in my heart.
Is in my heart.
It makes me
love
my innocent. Makes me treat
his
baby right.
Is in my heart.
Makes me
pray
for the sick.
Is in my heart.
It makes me
his love
be the heart.
Is in my heart.
Thank you, Jesus,
his love
for your love.
Is in my heart.
One day
his love
when I was lost,
is in my heart.
He died
his love
upon the cross.
Is in my heart.
I'm glad
his love
he saved me.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
If you will, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let us commence reading at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and not and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity or truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Paul seems to challenge young Timothy and at the same time directing him to make sure that his prayers are far reaching. Because When you look at scripture and understand the revelation of this word, your prayer life is closely related to your peace life. And if your prayers are weak and short, so most times is your peace. One of the things that he brings out and makes clear is that as he encourages him and challenges him, he says, let's put first things first. He said, let supplications, requests, petitions, and prayers, and intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Now look at this again. He talks about requests or petitions. He talks about prayer, where you get to communicate with God out of your own spirit and soul. Intercession, where you're standing in the gap for somebody else. And then you're giving thanks because God allows certain people to cross your path. He allows certain people to show up at the right time to be a blessing to your life. He allows certain people who hear and heed his call to meet the need that you have. He says you need to give thanks for him. Because even though he commands us to do many things, we are not always obedient to the command. And so when you have people who are sensitive and who submit to the voice of God, which ultimately winds up bringing God glory and you good, you ought to learn to say thank you for that person. Somebody has said that people aren't always kind, and when they are kind, you ought to be thankful because they didn't have to be kind to you. And so Paul is literally saying to Timothy, you need to make sure that your prayer life is extended beyond you and yours. Amen. You know, I listen to some people pray, and you hear in their prayer life, they aren't really used to talking to God about nobody but them and theirs. And as Lord bless me and my wife and my children's and my this and my that and my this and the other, and never do you really see them extending their prayer life beyond their personal concentric circle of contact. And if you're ever going to be anything for God, do anything for God, you're going to have to get beyond yourself and learn to talk to God about other folk. So notice how he starts off. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I'm trying to suggest to you this, my brothers and sisters. If you pray for folk more, you'll talk about them less. If you just learn to take it to the Lord in prayer, tell the Lord all about it, both the good and the bad, God can do something about it without charging the negativity to your account. Anytime somebody comes in your face talking bad about anybody, ask them, have you prayed for the brother? Have you prayed for the sister? Are you in prayer for them now? Because if you were praying for them, you wouldn't be talking about it. So Timothy here is getting a message from Paul. Learn how to pray for others, both the good and the bad. And see how God moves and ministers on their behalf because of the prayers you send up. Now notice what he goes on to direct further. Verse 2, for kings, for presidents, for mayors. Amen. And it doesn't stop that. For all that are in authority. You know, everybody wants to be this and everybody wants to be that. Everybody wants this position. Everybody wants that position. But the word says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I want to let you in on a secret, that everybody who's in whatever position they are in, it's been authorized and ordained by God. And I want to throw out, for your understanding, that it's not just in sacred realms, but in secular realities as well. In other words, everything that happens, God allows it to happen. Even the bad, he allows it to happen because he has the power to turn what the bad was intended to do into good. He wants us to understand he's in control, he's in charge, and everything he allows is going to work out for our better good. Now look at this again. For kings, presidents, for those who are leading countries, and for all that are in authority, that means every person who is in authority have both a responsibility and an accountability both to God and to man. Leaders have to lead. And if they do not lead well, they've got to give an account to God as well as man. Anybody who serves at the pleasure of somebody else has been given authority, and being in a place of authority must give an account. Just because they're in the position doesn't mean they have permission to do whatever they so desire. And so when we begin to understand that people who have been given the privilege to serve and have been placed in position are in authority, but they are also under authority. Remember in the word when a centurion, man who had a company of 100 men under him, one day went to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Oh, no, master. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He wanted Jesus to understand, wait, Jesus, I'm a man under authority because I have folk above me. And I'm a man in authority because I have folk under me. And I'm not trying to dispute what you've just said, where do I live and you want to go there. I'm just saying I'm not worthy. I know who you are, and you far rank me and outrank me. And I just know that if you will speak it here, my servant will be healed there. So because of his faith in Jesus and respect for authority and command, Jesus turned around to his disciples. In effect, said, did you hear that? Look at what Jesus says. No greater faith have I found in all of Israel. And it wasn't even one of his followers. My brothers and my sisters, you need to understand that authority is a privilege. And that when we are in authority, we are again given to doing what we have been assigned to do. That's why it's so important to pray for those who are in authority. What you don't realize is this, that the Bible says he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. And what it simply means in principle is this: before you can learn to be whatever it is you desire to be on the top shelf, you got to learn how to be the best you can be on the bottom shelf. It means you've got to respect those in authority. It means that you have got to yield yourself to the position of authority. And this is one thing people try to get over on Scripture and think that they justify themselves. Here's what you don't understand: that the position God allowed and was given and created for function and structure. And so because God loves all things to be done decently and in order, here's what you must recognize: that if the position is ordained by God, so is the person in the position ordained by God. And listen at this, even if you get to the point where you don't like the person in the position, you still got to respect the position because God has ordained it. So even if you don't like me, that's your business. But you've got to respect the fact that I'm here doing God's business. And since he put me here, when he gets ready, he can move me from here. I'm not not here till time ends. I know I've got a season here. Every person's serving has a season where they are, and God permits them to serve there for His glory. Yes. And for your good. Everybody who desires to be in a position and in a place must keep in mind that an awesome burden comes with the position. Our mayor, who happens to be a member of our ministry, Lord sent him here to hear this message today. Haven't seen him in a few Sundays. Good to see you, Brother Mayor. But he has the awesome responsibility of carrying the load, not just of mayor, but being named, called, chosen, and selected as the first African-American mayor. And so it's a double responsibility, because if he fails, it won't be another one of us. Y'all can think I'm playing if you want. So I told the mayor when we were praying for him then, I said, if he ever needed the Lord before, he sure do need him. Anybody was there? Now? Right now, because see, all of the part of getting him there was just the beginning of it. Keeping them there, doing what he's supposed to do, and being successful in it is the continuation of the prayer and support. And that's with anybody, in any office, in any level, in any place. So many others have been the first to open the door and to sit in seats of power and position and prestige, but they carried a far greater worth and weight than just for themselves. So many of us who are selfish in position don't realize that what we do in the position will either open the door or close the door for somebody else coming behind us. And so the word says, and for all, pray for those who are in authority. Listen at this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, when he talks about this, he's talking about, again, making clear the fact that when we learn to pray for people who God has given the opportunity to serve us, then we also open them up to hear from God, to lead us in the way we ought to be led, to make them sensitive, and to make God, again, clearly understand that we know our place as well as we know their place. And if God leads them and they lead us, it's a place of victory. It's a place of triumph. And so therefore, when we have people in positions, and you need to know wherever there is position, there is competition, that you've got some folk, just like you've got some folk praying for them to do well, you've got some folk pulling for them to do bad. While you've got some saying, we lift you up, you've got others there seeking and looking to pull them down. And you've got to be real and understand that everybody you serve don't want you to serve them. That everybody's not glad for you, and everybody's not standing with you, but in spite of it, you've got to give your best to all. And so listen at this, because I need you to see this. When we have a quiet and peaceable spirit in us, it is due to the fact that we don't have issues. Listen, nobody's going to be able to do everything for us. God is the only one who can do everything. Matter of fact, we can't do everything for ourselves. But it's amazing at how we like to put the burden on somebody else to do for us many things that we cannot do for ourselves. But in praying and releasing and trusting God to give the answer and bring the reality of a breakthrough or a blessing to us, we've got to learn how to lift folk up other than ourselves and walk in the goodness and in the will and in the word and in the way of God, knowing that if God has allowed this to happen, He's in control of it. Look at what verse 3 says. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, for us to continue to pray and lift him up, minister
on their behalf, that God will minister to them on our behalf, and that they will be sensitive to the truth and implement the truth and walk in the truth, so that we will be able to live quiet and peaceable lives, not having conflict with the word, the will, and the way of God. Look again, I want you to see something. Verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants every person on planet Earth to be saved. That's his will. When we live the kind of life that God desires us to live, men see that light that shines through us, are drawn to that light that is in us, so that we can be a witness with the word of the Lord to help save them or bring them to the point of salvation. God wants even your enemy saved. God wants the person that you don't like saved. You don't believe that? Just ask Jonah about that. He'll tell you, God wants your enemy saved. And here's what you don't understand. You might not catch all the trouble you're getting if you could get your enemy saved. So it is your design to follow God's desire and minister, witness, preach the gospel if you are a preacher to every creature, so that they might come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But not just to be saved. Because you got a whole lot of folk in church who come to church. They are saved. They've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but have no word in them. So that means when they go through something, they don't know how to get out of it. When stuff happens to them, they react to it instead of understanding that God's got this thing fixed. He allowed this situation, and if he did, then it's a test. But if it's a test, then that means God has put limitations on the enemy, and then he has promised he would not put more on me than what I could bear. So if I'm in this situation, he ordained me to be in this situation, and it's up to me to walk in the situation the way his word says I ought to. And what I will do is walk through to what he's got for me. I will stop focusing on the test and the trial and start focusing on the triumph. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I am who he says I am. The devil is a liar. I'm not defeated. I have what God says is mine.
All right.
And when I begin to embrace the word of God and begin to walk in the word of God and speak the word of God, it is because of his word that he has to honor what I say. So no longer do I let folks steal my peace. You know, instead of when folks say you this, that, and the other, instead of me saying you another one, instead of me saying your mama, I said God bless you. I wish I had a witness here. I know who I am, and I know whose I am. And the devil knows who I am, because when I was born again, heaven faxed hell a copy that I belong no longer to him, but I belong. I wish I had something. The question is, do you know who you are and whose? Don't make me rush. I'm not through. Listen. Who will have all men to be saved? That's the will of God. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the way of God. And so once we discover God's will, then we must walk in his way. Unto the knowledge, that's the working operation of the word. You can have the word printed in the Bible and carry it with you, and it won't do no good. I tried to share this morning with the saints that the word of God in written form is all that it ought to be. But it does not do all that it can do until it is mixed with your faith. The written word is wonderful because it is where we have the divinely written, inspired mind of God. I don't have to guess what he thinks. I don't have to guess what he wants. I don't have to guess his will. It's recorded in his word. But just because it's written doesn't mean for me that it's alive until I mix my faith with what he said. To make it simple, have you ever had some instant cocoa? Instant grits or instant anything? When you tear open the package, it's in dry powder form. And the cocoa is in the powder form. The grits, it's in powder form. Whatever it is that's in powder form is all that it is in powder form. But it doesn't become what I want until I add some. Have I got a half a witness in there? Until I add some water. And when I add some water to the cocoa, to the grits, or to whatever it is, that substance is activated and the whole form changes of the powder into a liquid. The color changes, the consistency changes, everything about it changes, all because I added a little water. And I'm trying to tell somebody here, this word changes from written form to living form when I take it off the pages and mix my faith with the word. All of a sudden, it's a living word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against it. When I got his word in my heart and it is mixed with my faith, no longer do I need the written word to make the living word real to me. When I digest it and mix it with my faith, that word becomes a living, breathing, walking word. And the reality is, it becomes all that it ought to be in me. Tried to tell you, a preacher God called back in the Old Testament by the name of Ezekiel. One day, Ezekiel was looking at how dead his church was. And he said, Ezekiel, I know you're tired of preaching to these dead folk. Do you think they can live? And Ezekiel said, I've been preaching a long time. I don't know, Lord. They've been dead a long time. They've gotten bleached white. I told them earlier, it's like when you eat chicken bones and get all the marrow out of it, or turkey bones at some holiday season, and you let the bones sit for a while, you see once the marrow leaves how they turn ash white. That means ain't no life left even in the bones. And Ezekiel looked at his church and said, Lord, they've been dead so long, they didn't turn white. But because I know who you are, I don't know it, but you know it. Look at what the Lord told him. He said, speak to them, those dry bones. Preach to those dry bones. Open up your mouth and let my word enter into those dry bones. And Ezekiel might have said, though he didn't utter it, Lord, but they ain't got no ears. Because you know, when you've been dead so long, stuff just start falling off. You can look at your neighbor and see they can't even smile. They've been dead so long. Some of them might be asleep right now. That's just how dead they are. Somebody dying instantly and being resuscitated in a few moments of time than there is for those of you went to the graveyard and there's no skin, no sinew, no meat on the bones, and they're just dry bones being resurrected. But the power of the living God and the spoken word, that same power that was in the beginning in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, when God said, let there be. In other words, he really could have told Ezekiel, you at least got something to work with. I wish I had a witness. You at least got some dry bones. And I stood up on nothing. And there was nothing, no way. And I simply spoke from out of nowhere on nothing. And everything I said came to be. I'm just trying to tell you, when you got the word of God in you, the power and the authority to speak those things that be not as though they were must be mixed with faith. It's on the faith of God that everything that is